Find someone you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Happy Labor Day. Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live or view us if you're a Patreon every Monday at 6:30-ish, big time-ish today, by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom and I am your host. And as always, I am here with my good friend, starting with the first one.
Hey y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And I think I'm going to stop and say welcome.
Hi.
It's Patrick.
It's Patrick from the
New
Haven Pride
Center. Set it together? And one, two, three. The That's Dish.
Oh, no,
I didn't
no,
say we welcomed you to
no,
it.
No, that
okay,
was bad.
Well, one, two, three. Welcome to
The Dish.
All right.
Ooh. It's great start.
Okay,
great start.
It's going to be a very, very interesting episode. I will tell you that we have been, at least Trish and I were barbecuing.
Don't blame me.
Blame her. Blame her.
Feeding me tequila with color, and it's delicious and nutritious and all that good stuff. But so Patrick Dunn is joining us from
Hello.
The New Haven Pride Center. He is the executive director. And he's been on the show before, and we welcome you once again.
Thanks for having me again.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
I think this is my fourth time.
I know.
It's crazy.
Like we're just going to have to like stick you onto the wall and leave you there.
I'm into it.
Of course you are.
It's cheaper than Uber.
It's cheaper than Uber.
So we've got a lot of things that we want to talk about, mainly things that are surrounding what's going to be happening in New Haven for the course of an entire week, a lot of celebrations, but we'll get into that sooner or later. Before we do and keep going, we would like to talk about today's cocktail. And Chris didn't make it today.
I didn't
make it. We'll tell you about it because it is very delicious. So, Christopher.
Yes, today we are having Diet Coke. It's just like Family Guy says. It's like when fat girls discovered Diet Coke. Now I can eat anything.
You're an ass.
No, Nick, why don't you go ahead and describe this cocktail? Because you made it. You know everything that's going on.
I actually didn't make it. Tom did.
Tom?
You guys are so on point today.
Yeah. So
thanks, Patrick.
So we decided that we were going to go very, very fruity today. And we decided to do a very amazing version of a margarita. But it's a very berry blended margarita, and I'll explain. So we went and we got some silver tequila, and we put in fresh blueberries. We put in some fresh lime juice, which I squeezed myself. We also had some simple syrup in there. We put strawberries, some pieces of pineapple in ours. And it's supposed to call for orange bitters, but we couldn't find any in any of the liquor stores that we were running around looking for it today, so we didn't put any in there. But then, you know, we threw it all in a blender with some ice, and it is absolutely refreshing.
I haven't even tried it.
It's delicious.
Not just any blender. The Ninja.
The Ninja, yeah. And,
ooh.
Yeah, it's very good.
And the only thing it's missing is kale, and then it would be super
nutritious. That's what it looks like. We ate kale, so you're good to go.
Yeah.
Blueberries are a super fruit. Great for the brain. Great for women, to prevent breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Blueberries are great.
Hey, men can get breast cancer too.
Yeah. They can.
And so men too, I guess.
Yeah. And then the pineapple that you put in it is good too.
Oh God, here we go.
It's good for the semen. Makes it taste better.
It was almost nice.
I know.
We were almost nice.
Yeah. No, but it's true. But overall, it's a great cocktail. It's very good. Super hot in the Northeast today. It was like 90 and humid. And so having something blended and frozen definitely made a difference today.
But now it's lovely outside, but Uncle Tommy won't let us do the show outside. So,
I know, seriously.
It's
what the
super
fuck?
Hot outside.
Not right now. It's very lovely out there.
It's still a little hot outside.
but so we had a very interesting weekend. I'll let Trish start off with what she did, and then we'll move around the table. Patrick, you can join us as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I just ran away for the weekend.
Where'd you go?
It was the last weekend of summer, so I went to Nantucket, as I've been going there a bunch this summer. It's amazing. I loved it. I went through it. We ate a lot of seafood. It was good. We had a good time.
Through it is not the word.
That's really all I have. I don't really want to get into details with my weekend.
So,
probably for the best.
You said something about the seafood that you were having. Tell us a little bit about that experience, because it was freshly caught, right?
Well, it's Nantucket. Yeah, it's an island. So okay. Everything comes in every day. It's fresh. So when they run out and it's from that day. Mm. So we got the last two lobsters and fresh salmon and fresh cod. And it was just literally life-changing.
That's awesome.
I love fresh seafood. It's the best thing. Mm-hmm.
So all I could think about, honestly, was you lopping off. Like, what was that? Salmon? Or something when you were at the restaurant and something came in fresh and you like
looked up. Yeah, like we had our fresh salmon come in, just like this big ass fish, and I just looked at the chef and I was like nodding my head, I'm like, give me a piece of that, and he just cuts a chunk off this raw fish.
So gross.
And it's like nom 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 nom.
Sounds delicious though.
I'm either gonna live forever or have a shit ton of worms. One of the two.
I mean, if it was sushi grade.
No, it was like really high quality fish. It was delicious.
Well, that's good. So, Patrick, what did you do this weekend?
I was kidding.
I
worked healthy
for large portions of the weekend because Pride New Haven is coming up in less than 7 days.
And there's a lot to do. So,
and I did drag because I do drag every weekend.
So he also has an alternate personality, and that personality's name is Kiki Lucia.
That's her.
We had Kiki on the show, too.
That was one of the best episodes you guys ever did, because it was the Summer Orlando Roast.
And it was great.
That was enjoyable. It's okay, she don't listen.
No, but she wants to come on. Mm. Anyway, let's see. What did I do for my weekend? So Friday, I did nothing but stay home. Is that what I did? Yeah, I did.
Friday wasn't part of the weekend.
It is for me because, you know, I work 7 days a week, so I make it a part of my weekend. But I ended up staying home and finished watching Game of Thrones all the way through to the last episode of season 7. And then Saturday I got up and I started cleaning and making sure that things were in order because Mom's coming Tuesday. And then Sunday, and I worked Saturday night. Sunday, I ended up doing some running around, cleaning and stuff. And then I worked Sunday evening. We got destroyed last night. Woke up seriously hurting this morning. Yep. And then today, we decided that we were going to come to the house early, and we were going to start grilling and doing all that good stuff. And so we put some burgers on the grill. Nick made an amazing kale salad.
Yeah,
that
was
delicious.
Good.
The burgers were also
handmade. I was
going to
say, I feel like the burgers were also equally delicious.
Thank you,
they
Patrick.
Were, but can you explain a little bit what's in this kale salad that's so good?
This bitch, I told her
it's
I wouldn't
a secret,
tell her.
Exactly.
So, fine.
I saw you buy all the ingredients, but it's the love that you put in that goddamn thing. It was delicious.
You got to massage it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it tasted so bitter.
Gross.
So, kale, I love kale. It helps you poop. It's really healthy. It's a superfood, but buy it organic because it's also a dirty vegetable, if you didn't know that. So you want to buy organic. So
or
you
just clean it.
No, buy organic and clean it. And then you just kind of like tear it apart, the full leaves, and then put it in a bowl with lemon juice, garlic, fresh garlic, strawberries. I use
minced in the ninja.
Yep. Olive oil, vinegar, and then you massage the kale, and then add whatever you want, and it's literally life changing. And you poop for days. It's great.
It really was.
Mm-hmm. I was told from a chef one time that there's an enzyme in kale that's not particularly good for men's sexual organs. So you want to actually counterbalance that with having some almonds if you're going to eat kale a lot. Something in the almonds helps fight off that enzyme that's not good for your balls.
I'm going to go get a pack of almonds.
Like good for your balls in what sense? Like
they start to shrink?
He just told me it's not good for, like, raw mushrooms are not good for men's sexual organs as well. There's also an enzyme in that has to be cooked out. But it's simply by counterbalancing it with almonds, it's...
This I'm just going to say it, this is false. So there's no way that is true.
It's not like you have a head of kale and your fucking nuts fall off. You know, things take a long time. Like, it's, you know...
So if you eat kale, like, every day, all day, nothing else.
Yeah, that's
with raw mushrooms.
And this is from a chef that told me this, you know, wasn't a doctor or a scientist. It was a chef that told me this. And, you know, I'm looking out for your balls, people.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I am. That's important.
What happened to you this weekend, killer?
I worked all weekend. That's it.
The corner?
What?
The corner?
No, I ain't good enough for that.
Come on. Come on. You can get a couple of bucks.
You can make a couple of dollars.
Right? That's what I said.
I'll save the time. I just worked. Nothing too exciting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you've been working a lot. You've also
and you're been
also
studying
in a new place. You're back in school now, so that means we don't get our custom cocktails anymore. But that's okay.
You guys came up produced a fantastic cocktail today without me. Yeah. You didn't need me. And the burgers looked fucking delicious. I will say, if any of you, our listeners, ever join us for a barbecue here, they're no like little frozen fucking burger patties. No, these are gourmet, handmade patties. Mm-hmm. We get the good meats here at Gay Talk.
Mm-hmm. Gay Talk credit card.
I throw hell some shit in there and it's good to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even like you had, what, feta cheese up in there?
Feta is so fucking good.
Mm. Feta, bacon, seasoning.
Oh, it was amazing.
You know, I'm not drinking today and I feel like I'm dropping the F-bomb a lot. And Mom, I have no alcohol in me. Sorry, Mom.
We have nothing to do with that. So, all right. Well, that sounds like we had interesting weekends somewhat, except for Chris. He worked. But overall,
actually, funny story, though.
Can okay, I, I'm go just, for it.
So,
of course.
This is what I do, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in Nantucket, we were all like having dinner one night, and we were all sitting around and chatting about gay stuff and like whatever. And then the person I was with was like, so like being gay now is great. Like it's easy to be gay and all this stuff. And I was like, oh no, here we go. It's like, you don't want to get me started. And then literally I just like ranted for like 45 minutes and they were like, oh my God, I had no idea. I'm like, that's because we live in the Northeast. Like it's not okay to be gay everywhere. Like,
listen, it's still not okay to be okay in New Haven or Connecticut. Yeah. 40% of Connecticut's homeless youth are LGBTQ people that have been kicked out of their houses.
She would know this.
There are still a lot of conservatives in Connecticut.
There's a county in Connecticut that went totally Republican. And one of our state representatives apparently took money from an anti-LGBTQ church.
Which Stop representative?
She's running for CT5. District to be our five. Congress.
We are going to have to do some research.
What's her name? I've heard this rumor like floating around that she belongs to and accepted money from an anti-LGBTQ church.
Yeah, we're going to do our homework.
You know, it amazes me how churches can make donations to political campaigns, yet they pay no taxes.
And Trump, one of his first executive orders made that easier, where churches can get more involved in campaign
which is really—it's really ironic because a nonprofit Elizabeth Etsy is the person that's currently in Congress. It's the person running to replace her that won the Democratic primary. It's super interesting because as a nonprofit leader, I can't advocate for or against any individual candidates. Literally, we could lose our nonprofit status as a nonprofit, and as a nonprofit, we can't support or not support any candidates. We can talk about politics and policy, but we can't go into individual candidates. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about, like, we can't advocate for one person to become president. We can't do any of that stuff because we lose our nonprofit status.
Right. That's as an organization,
right. Which it's super interesting that, like, a nonprofit can't do that, but yet a church, which is also a nonprofit.
Right. And it was an executive order that Donald Trump signed.
And we shouldn't say church. We should say religious organizations because it's not just churches that
this is true.
Advocate
this
for
is true.
Or against anything. It's in general, religious organizations.
But I just find it ironic. And I think that, you know, if they are going to want to play politics or inject, you know, secular belief or religious belief into our policies that are being created that affect a large portion of other people who may not be aligned with your same religious beliefs, I think that they should be taxed at this point, you know, some sort of taxation, whether it's, you know, not at the full 100%, but at least at 50%, or which would also increase the amount of revenue that any state would be able to get too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Agreed.
So, all right. Well, we do have some stories and also some information from our awesome guest, Patrick, who's going to tell us later on. But we want to cover two stories that we have. I'll let Christopher kick it off, being that Trish already, you know, had her little episode over there.
I just thought this was a fun one. It's kind of reminded me about, remember that story we talked about where I think it was in Ireland. A guy was walking. No, I might be confusing stories, but it might have been in Ireland where a guy was walking home and he had just bought a huge sack of glitter. And a car drove by him and yelled out the F word to him. So he continued to walk. And when the car was at a red light, he emptied the bag of glitter into their car. And hysterical. That was his way of getting back to them. Yeah. Hysterical. And we all know that glitter does not go away.
Glitter is the herpes of arts and crafts.
The herpes, exactly. It's the most devious and long-lasting of all drag droppings. Mm-hmm. It
will- Oh, that's funny.
So there was a married lesbian couple in Pennsylvania that said that they have endured years of homophobic slurs from their neighbors, and they decided to fight back by painting their... First, they decided to put up a fence in between the... their house and their neighbor's house, because when they had first moved in, they had heard them use some kind of words and, like, you know, derogatory terms toward them. So they actually played off to be like mother and daughter as opposed to a married couple. And after enduring some of these hurtful words, they decided to paint their fence rainbow colored. And after constantly hearing them yell homos, dykes, and lesbians to them, they decided, you know what? Let's paint the house now. So as of now, the entire side of their house that is facing their neighbor's house is painted rainbow, and they will continue to paint the rest of the house rainbow. So they're going to let them know that, you know, we're here to stay. Lau, one of the people, said a quote, "This is the 21st century. We live here. We're not moving. My family accepts us. Our friends accept us. If you don't like it, just live your life. Leave us alone, and everything's cool."
Hello. But I will tell you, though, that house did need a painting.
Oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing.
Thank God. You know, seriously, thank God that they painted it, because it needed it. It's one of the dingiest white houses I've ever seen in my life.
Facts.
You know, there's the house across from the Westboro Baptist Church that's also mm-hmm. painted a rainbow. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, they did that.
I think it's called the Equality House, mm-hmm. and it's a youth homeless shelter.
Yeah.
Hmm. Excellent.
Right across from the Westboro Baptist Church.
And then there was even like that little small pride parade. I think it was like 200 people or so right outside of Mike Pence's residency.
And they did the dance party.
In
the morning.
Yep, the dance party. Exactly. I love it. These are the perfect peaceful protests.
And they're amazing, because then you get to have fun and dance and do all that good stuff too.
And then these people get to wake up every day and stare at that rainbow flag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I would be so happy.
And I'm so happy to know how disgusted these people are and how much angst they have to live with every morning they wake up and be like, "Hey, we're just painting our house. You do you, we do us."
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the issue is, there shouldn't be an issue, but the problem is that many times our neighbors don't know how to mind their fucking business, mm-hmm. right? I happen to be blessed thus far to be surrounded with neighbors that are pretty decent for the most part. I mean, my neighbors to my left, you know, to my right, they're great. Well, if I'm facing forward, left, right, they're fantastic on either side. And I interact with them all the time. They come and play with my dogs. And
you know, the one on the left can get it.
Jesus Christ. Nicholas. And then I've had, you know, then we have crazy Rachel across the street. She's a little cuckoo. But
she brings snow peas, so.
No, not that one. Oh my God, Christopher. Mm-hmm. No, neighbors. Further down, there's one that's a little psycho. But other than that, you know, I've been blessed. That was the wrong neighbor. Thank you. Hopefully she's not listening. For the most part, I have to say I'm lucky. But that's not always the case. And you run into situations like this, and where you're in your own home, in your own space, and people are being just so stupid and vile and evil. And it just makes no sense. It's like, you know, you have your own house. I have mine. I'm not coming onto your property. You don't come on mine. Don't open on mine. You do you, I do me. And, you know, we have that right. We purchase these properties. They're very expensive. We pay our taxes. We should be able to do whatever the hell we want.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, there are places, or live.
Right.
Sadly, there are places, though, however, that zoning laws will prevent you from painting certain colors on buildings. Like, for example, in Brantford, I had a friend of mine who owned a salon, and he wanted to paint it Pepto-Bismol pink, the entire building.
I mean, that's a bad choice.
Yeah. I mean, like,
let's be honest.
But it was beautiful, though, the way that the rendering came out. It really would have looked really nice, but the town and zoning did not allow him to use that color. Mm. Or go in and paint it in any color that he wanted. I'm like,
you know, Avon is like that. Avon has really strict rules. So the fanciest McDonald's I've ever been into my entire life by like far is in Avon.
That is true.
And it has like this beautiful like outdoor seating, and it has like all tile floors, and it has sighting. And
you almost think like, oh, the restaurant that bought that McDonald's left the sign up.
Right.
That's exactly how it looks.
It's like, oh, wow, I'm sitting down to a nice 5-course meal here.
Yeah,
you know?
Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you know, again, we're in America. We should be able to do whatever the hell we want with our houses, but that's not usually always the case.
I think it depends, too, though, because there are places where there are historic districts where you shouldn't fuck with the house.
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, and to just kind of play devil's advocate for a second, there's also the flip of, like, what happens if somebody wants to be crazy and paint a Confederate flag on their wall? So,
right. Mean, well, they do it.
Well, they do. I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. It happens.
I drove through rural New York once. It was scary.
I still love that.
I drove through rural Kentucky. That was
fucking
scary.
Yeah, I bet that
scary.
Was terrifying. I still love that. It was like one of those memes, and it was looked like some white supremacist waving the Confederate flag, and he's like, this flag will not be burned. And then underneath it, it's William Tecumseh Sherman, and he's like, is that a challenge? And I was like, yes!
Into it.
Because guess what? It will go down.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, all right. Well, that being said, we do have another story. This one comes to you all the way from the lands of Nicholas, a.k.a.
What?
Trish.
Wait, hold on. I never talk in the first half about my stories. Don't you have a story?
No, I'm not talking during the first half because I'm going to give most of my time to our friend Patrick, who's here to talk about Pride and the Pride Center.
For not talking, I've heard you an awful lot the first half.
Seriously?
Well, I sort of kind of guide the conversation. These two, but I'm done. Good night, everyone. I'm taking my margarita with me.
I'm not prepared to talk about the story just yet. So okay. Let's find something else to talk about or go to break. Hello?
No. You're not, you don't want to talk about, okay, so.
Don't you have more stories?
All right. So let's talk, I wanted to talk about a little bit, I wanted to talk about it, then I said maybe we're not, but I want to talk about John McCain's memorial services over the weekend. I thought that they were
so amazing.
Amazing. It really shows the camaraderie, did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Between, you know, friends, like, for example, Joe Biden and our previous president, Barack Obama, which I miss and I love and I adore. It was just amazing to see them go up there and talk about someone who happens to just be a Republican senator from the state of
Arizona.
And, you know, they just had nothing but great, amazing things to say about this man who really served our country in so many ways and so many facets of being able to serve. He was in the military. He served as a congressman. He served as a senator. And for the most part, he devoted most of his adult life to public service.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were certain policies and things that he passed that or advocated for that really weren't kosher with me as a gay man. But you can't take away the fact that he devoted his entire life to public service.
Absolutely.
Well, and let's be also call a spade a spade. If John McCain had not been in Congress when the last round of the trying to overturn the
Affordable
Care Act, if John McCain hadn't been there, it probably would have gotten turned
exactly.
Over.
Oh, of course. Listen, the day he went like this and went whoop,
yep.
And the face on Mitch McConnell,
It was stone. He didn't move. He didn't make an expression.
It was glorious to see. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I bring up the story, because we did talk about this a little bit last week, his daughter.
Mm.
So his daughter went up when they did the memorial, and she started talking, and she was visibly distraught, and she started talking and sort of taunting the president,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, just saying, absolutely. You know, this is a man of true integrity, you know, and I can't really tell you what exactly her word choices were, but it was clear that that was her sending a message to Donald Trump. Stop messing with my father. Stop saying that he's not a real hero. He will always be more of a hero than you will ever be, who actually avoided going and serving in the military
right.
because of bone spurs or whatnot. But in the end, he had the audacity to go on Twitter and post.
Of course he did.
As he always does, and started talking shit. And some of his workers or employees, I think one of his publicists, started posting stuff on Twitter regarding the services of John McCain. And I'm like, I don't understand. I really can't fathom or understand how someone in that office, right? That's the highest office in our nation. It is one of the most coveted offices in the world. And someone could really be that immature and stupid and just nasty.
Well, you know he was butthurt from the beginning when he found out he wasn't welcome there. And she, when she was up there, she said that the America of John McCain does not need to get great again, because the America of John McCain has always been great.
Of course.
I loved that quote.
Yeah. And again, she was
I definitely didn't quote it exactly correct, but it
you
was
were pretty close.
It was so powerful.
It really was. And to me, I watched it and I was just like, bravo, girl. Mm-hmm. Bravo. That was just utterly amazing.
And it was really great to hear, you know, I love when Joe Biden went up. Joe Biden, I don't know if any of you watched it, but the way it started was, I'm Joe Biden and I'm a Democrat. That's literally the first thing he said. The friendship between John McCain and Joe Biden was absolutely beautiful and incredible, especially with them being completely divided on party lines. They put party aside. They put policy first. They put friendship and family, but then they put really policy and America first. And my headset's mixed up too.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, mine is too.
And then it was just so great to see President Obama and President George W. Bush speaking. It was really a beautiful ceremony with beautiful music and just an outcry of support for everything that this man did for this great nation. It brought me to tears a number of times. It was when they were performing "Oh Danny Boy," it was absolutely beautiful.
Well, I think that like John McCain was one of those Republican politicians or politicians in general, because I think there's not many politicians that really are centralist and also really listen to their constituents, because John McCain was never a big supporter of marriage equality, but his constituents told him that he should vote for it, so he did.
Right.
You know, like he put aside his personal beliefs and his personal things for what his constituents were asking for, and that's, to me, what a real politician should be doing, and very few actually do.
Right.
And John McCain was always that kind of more center than anything.
I mean, John McCain is a conservative. He absolutely is a conservative.
Totally.
But he's one of those politicians who realized, you know, I'm not a self-appointed senator. I'm put there because the people of my state believed in me enough to be their voice in the Capitol. And he did that. He would represent the people of Arizona.
Right.
And he did it nobly, and he was an honorable man who will always go down in history, which is why I think they should rename that building after him, so people can explain to their children who John McCain, even the new NATO headquarters, they're debating naming after John McCain.
Well,
this man shaped the world.
Well, of course he did. He did more, he instilled more change in people, regardless of what political affiliation he had, because he basically cultivated those friendships along party lines and even on opposite sides of the party. But to see a man be lying in state, right, at state capitol, excuse me, at the U.S. Capitol,
right.
And he also laid in state in his state capital as
well.
But to have that, that's not a distinction that's given to many people. I think there's been a few other senators.
31 people have lied in state in the U.S. Capitol.
Not many senators have. And
Robert Kennedy, I think, was the last.
To have that distinction is truly, it is remarkable. And it's just, to me, It was just really, really, really amazing to see that he was getting this and he deserved it.
And you know what's so remarkable and such an amazing honor? I think it's called a catafalque. It's the black wooden, it's this wooden thing with a black like draped over it, and it's meant to hold the casket. That, I believe it's catafalque, was built for Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's casket was on that. And I believe John McCain was the 31st person to have his casket rest upon that. That was built for Abraham Lincoln. That is such an amazing honor. Such an amazing honor.
It just surprises me that this person who wasn't a president ran, lost.
Twice.
And when he ran, I was like, no. Is getting all these accolades right now. I mean, like, he did just pass. Like, I get it. But, like, at the same time, we are looking at somebody who kind of wasn't great for our community. And we're giving him accolades because we have a douchebag in the presidency.
Well, no, because
what's happening.
No.
Yes. Are you fucking kidding me? That's exactly what's happening.
No.
I would argue no.
I think our community stood up and said, oh my God, this man died. We need to be out there in public and say things about it, when in reality, if we had a strong person in the White House leading our country in a positive direction, we didn't have to turn to somebody who wasn't necessarily positive toward our community. When he passes, we wouldn't be standing up like this.
Nevertheless, he was a true American.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
That's
and
why
he
did, people
and
are
he
standing
he deserves
up and
everything
him.
That he got. And I'm just saying, like, why is he the 31st person to be on this?
Because he was viewed as a true American hero. He had been, he served, he lived for America. He didn't live for John McCain. You know, his family was incredibly important to him. He loved his family. He was a man of family and friends, but he was an America first person. The president of the United States says that. John McCain did that.
His whole life. And again, I don't agree with a lot of the things that
Same.
He did politically. He wasn't the person that I voted for
president.
If he president.
Was America first his entire life, he would have been president.
But he wasn't.
That's not necessarily
but
true.
But that necessarily
well, he,
doesn't
he
mean that
he didn't become
president
because he picked a bad vice president.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Let me tell you, that was
a big blow to him. I mean, I would like to think that Obama still would have gotten elected.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I think that selecting Sarah Palin in itself
killed
hurt,
him.
Killed him.
And he's really admitted that.
Forgot about her.
Yeah, exactly. She was also not welcome at the funeral.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the other thing is, you got to understand that this woman stood up there in the face of all this, you know, media attention. Which she's used to because, as we know, she's also a co-host on The View. She stood up there and criticized the remarks of this horrible person that we have in office while his daughter was sitting in the audience. Because mm-hmm. Ivanka Trump was there. But either way. So I thought that, you know, it was a beautiful service, a beautiful send-off to someone who, again, just dedicated his entire public life to our country.
And then there was a really cute moment where President Bush gave Michelle Obama a candy.
A candy. That turned into like the biggest
meme. I didn't see
it was
that.
So yeah. cute.
He just hands her a candy. Them two have developed such
like this
a relationship.
Love relationship. It's so adorable.
It is Michelle Obama and George Bush?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't then, see this.
Because it was George Bush, Michelle Obama,
right.
And you had Barack Obama on the other side of Michelle
and
Laura Bush. And of course, he hands her, Michelle, a candy. And then you see Barack Obama like looking over like...
You and Laura and Barack are laughing as the uh-huh. two of them are like, it's because he's like and throwing it half at her.
Yeah. And they're like looking at each other like, do I need to separate you two? That kind of look. That's the kind of look that Barack Obama gave her. But I thought it was just a beautiful moment. And they're just so great. Them two, it's like they really do genuinely care for each other. And you can see that in a lot of the photos that, you know, people yeah. put out there about them.
Are we sure it's a candy?
It was a candy.
Okay.
You never know. Well, it could have been a roofie or something. Michelle, how you feel this morning, girl?
Well, things were going nice.
Well, I don't know. You just never know. All right. Well, listen. So it is half hour. We're a half hour into the show. So we are definitely going to take a break. We'll play some music. When we come back, we have Patrick coming back to join us and talk about the New Haven Pride Center. So here's some music. We will be back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. But it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Dansez avec moi. Dansez avec moi. Dansez avec moi. Do I fall in? Do I fall in? Do I fall in? Travel down the west coast with sun on my shoulders. The sun's on my shoulders. My heart's a winding road, but I can't control it. And nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? 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 You are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one I want.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Dance With Me by Davis Mallory, someone who we've had on the show actually twice already. Makes really cool music. We also played a couple of other tracks there for those that were listening during the break. And now, welcome back. So before we get into our next segment, which is the segment from top to bottom from the great Dr. Evan Goldstein, who joins us on the show here, usually every month. He took a break for the summer, but he will be coming back next week. I just wanted to say again, thank you to Patrick for joining us. We're going to be having a great conversation shortly after that segment.
Thanks for having me.
All of the great initiatives that are happening at the Pride New Haven Pride Center.
Don't forget Trisha's story. He wanted to tell it in the second half.
Yeah, I know.
So. She got two of them.
She'll get it in.
She loses one
she'll
now.
Get it in.
All right. So now, without further ado, what we're going to do is kick off from top to bottom with the incredible Dr. Evan Goldstein. And here is today's segment.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Evan Goldstein. Hope you had an amazing summer. We are back and specifically talking about the P-spot today in terms of the right way to engage with it, the wrong way. Also, does size really matter? And what's the best context for prostatic massage? All right, let's dive right into the prostate. Just kind of from an anatomical perspective, prostate's about 4 to 6 centimeters inside the anal canal. So if you're using fingers or toys or penis or whatnot, if you're heading in for about 4 to 5 centimeters, and then it's going to be kind of towards the testicle penis region. So as you go in, you're actually going to focus anterior, which is towards the front, and you'll feel this kind of soft yet pliable tissue. And this, if done correctly, can really lead to amazing stimulation, amazing orgasms. But on the contrary, obviously, if there is rough intercourse or your angulation is not appropriate, it can actually lead to pretty disastrous stuff.
Yeah, trash.
So let's kind of tackle each and then go from there. So milking the prostate, you know, if it's done correctly, it feels awesome. So you just have to go very gently, very slowly. It's not a pounding against that. And once you start kind of understanding the mechanics of how that works, it'll really enhance play tremendously. You'll also get a lot more prosthetic juices. The orgasm will be that much more intense. So, you know, I do think that it's definitely worth kind of toying around with and seeing if you can bring that into your sex world. A couple of things to think about. You know, obviously we talk a lot about not using fingers, fingernails, and kind of disjointed components of the fingers can create a lot of other localized trauma like fissures, etc., and tears in that area. So I think, you know, they have obviously toys that are prosthetic massage toys that put some gentle pressure on that area. I think that you really need to, whatever you're using, you really need to understand that it's supposed to be that kind of gentle, easy touching, light kind of pressure in that area. When you start on a sex perspective, you have to understand that people are hitting that a lot of times just by positions. So different positions would hit that in certain ways. And the key is to kind of change your pelvic angle or augment kind of the positioning and also how forceful and the depth and the penetration, because you'll notice that the harder you're hitting the prostate, the more irritated the prostate becomes, the more kind of just not obviously feeling appropriate. So you really have to understand the anatomy and also the positioning of you, the cock, your partner or partners, to really see how much pressure you're able to put on it, and then how aggressive can you go sexually, because obviously if you're kind of pounding the prostate over time, it gets irritated, it gets angry at us, it gets inflamed, and then obviously it's deleterious to a really awesome orgasm. So I think, you know, in summary of how to really engage with it, I think in the beginning it's a lot of gentle play, it's understanding and learning the anatomy, and then it's slowly starting to implement it in more aggressive sex play, and then changing and altering what you're doing to make sure that you're minimizing so much trauma to the area. Does size really matter?
Yes.
It really depends more on you. The reality is that I see people that have partners with less endowed and have prostatic issues and it not being a fun event. And then I have people that have the biggest cocks in the world as partners and they're totally feel amazing from the prostate. So I feel as if a lot of it is just understanding the anatomy, the angulation, and kind of really, really honing in on the location specific so that then you can kind of analyze it in a scientific way that allows you to change and alter certain things. So for instance, if someone's really inside of you, and they're really kind of, you know, their cock itself is heading anterior towards the front, they're going to be hitting that region. And so with that, you really have to just be careful. You may need to kind of slide up on them or slide back on them to kind of change the angulation of their cock as it's inside of you. And then that would relieve the pressure off of the prostate. There are certain positions like doggy style. Remember, doggy style, depending upon where their cock is their cock erect kind of pointing up or is their cock erect pointing down? If it's erect and pointing down when they're entering you, depending upon how high or low you are on the bed or whatever position you're in, it potentially can really start hitting that prostate. You may just need to kind of change your pelvis by putting your ass higher up in the air, or lower, or raising them, or kind of thinking along those lines as to, okay, I want them to kind of play with the prostate, but I also need their cock to be kind of in the center so that I'm not feeling such of that banging, hitting, motion that really causes irritation. So there's not really such a great answer to size matters. It really doesn't matter to you, but I think that any size that you encounter, if you understand the anatomy and you start thinking along the lines of what we just said, I think you'll really be successful at relieving the issues and making the prostate irritation not irritating, but pleasurable.
All right. Well, that was the comments regarding prostates and what we can and cannot do and how we should maximize our positions and all that good stuff to be able to feel all the feels and all the good stuff that we normally would during sex. So did you take notes, Trish?
I was going to say, who took notes? I'll need a copy.
I did not need to take notes.
Let's be real.
But let's be honest, though, right? So if you have somebody that you're having sex with and they know how to hit that prostate, it's literally the best sex. Like, you can have an orgasm without touching yourself if you are with the appropriate person and or they know how to use their cock. He didn't say anything about arching your back. Sometimes you gotta arch your back.
I'm sure that you're going to school
us. I feel like there's also layers of orgasm, like, because there's some people that get off on getting other people off and they don't need prostate stimulation.
That's true.
To have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Mental stimulation is very, very
important.
Wait,
hold on, time out. Wait, so getting off on getting other people off.
Right? Yes.
Right, so a bottom, getting off on getting somebody else off.
So for example, like if you are a person who gets off on getting other people off, you are stimulated by giving a blowjob. They don't even maybe need to even, you don't even have to take your clothes off, but it turns you on to make them ejaculate, or as a bottom, or as a top. I mean, it doesn't really, it's non-position specific. If you enjoy getting someone off, the goal is not that you come, the goal is they come. And when they come, you feel satisfied.
Right, but we're talking about the P-spot, the prostate.
Right. But if you're someone who gets pleasure out of giving other people pleasure, you don't need to have your prostate stimulated to get off.
Or you could be using a toy to hit the P spot for someone else and that and getting them off that way. And that's giving yourself the pleasure.
Totally.
So why don't we do
it in all about you, Trish.
Oh, Lord
have mercy. I mean, but clearly by this conversation, we know Trish is a selfish bottom.
I'm not a selfish bottom.
Probably super bossy, too.
Oh, definitely. Sit your ass down. I'm going on.
Okay, bossy bottom.
Why is it
bossy
that...
bottom bus it. There we go.
BBB.
It doesn't stand for Better Business Bureau. It's bossy bottom bus it.
I turned my mic off.
Turn it back on. No, so let's do a quick roundtable and talk about the what we understand from this. So let's start with you, Trish, being that you've already...
Should I talk? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll talk.
Go for it.
I mean, what do you want me to say? I already said what I have to say. If you hit that spot right, it's amazing.
So
she's so cranky today.
She is.
So she's threatened when you're here.
No, it's that this show, every time we start the show, it's just like, let's tear Trish down.
Well, we passed up on the one roast opportunity we had.
We just had to make up for it. No, but that's not it.
Well, I'll come back and roast her as Hiki.
There you go. That'd be great. Thank you. So let me ask you. So you've had several partners. Can you tell me if the majority of your partners have been able to hit your P spot?
Way to make me sound like a slut. Thank you, Tommy.
No. But you've had several partners at different times.
Sometimes at the same time.
People that you dated. So would you?
I just want to put it out there that I'm super sex positive, and I think that slut shaming is wrong.
And I did not slut shame. I just said. So do you think that the majority of your lovers have been able to hit that spot?
The ones that I stayed with, yes.
Okay.
It's like a requirement.
Good answer.
All right, perfect.
It's so, like above money. Do they have money? Above that is, can you hit my P spot?
Okay. Can you hit
then
my
money's
P-spot?
The next
I think
thing.
I'm going to have to turn that into a song. The P spot.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like the P spot is the name of a really good bar.
Well, the P bar is in D.C., I think. Right? No, P Street is the name of the street that it's on, and it was it was number 8 or something like that.
Never heard of it.
No idea.
We
were
there when we were there for Pride, and we couldn't get in because it was so packed. We had to go next door and have mediocre cocktails. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. What was the name?
Don't remember.
Of the bar. I thought it was number 9 or something like that.
That was so.
And it was on P Street.
Oh yeah, it was number 9.
Yeah, and it was on P Street.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with. The P spot.
No, I know. So let me go.
I probably would avoid a gay bar if it was called the P bar.
Yeah, I know.
Just saying.
Well, unless you like water sports. Yeah. Again.
Like in San Francisco, all the bathrooms have troughs instead of urinals, and sometimes people lay down in them.
Oh my God.
It does.
We're walking down a road right now.
So why don't we jump over to Patrick? Patrick,
wait, why do I have to answer this question?
Well, no, I want to know your opinion.
You've had several partners in your life,
possibly.
So, can you say that you have experienced the P spot being stimulated incredibly to the point where you just lose your mind?
Go numb.
Sure. I am part of the club that I was referring to earlier that gets off on other people getting off. So for me, P spot stimulation is not that vital. I mean, it's nice when it happens, but it's not like that's for me when I'm engaging in sexual activity. That's not my end goal is like, I would say probably 50 to 75% of the time that I have sex, I probably don't ejaculate.
Oh, wow.
Because that's just not my end goal.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, I enjoy
sex perfectly fine without doing that.
Yeah. I enjoy
it's just a nice bonus when it magically happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Chris, I would ask you, but we just know that you don't let people, that's like a one-way street down there. So, but can you comment? Have you ever like been with a partner that you like just, oh shit, I hit his G-spot, he's going.
Yeah. He doesn't know. I mean, let's be honest.
What is that supposed
men
to mean?
And men can be fakers. It is what it is.
I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, I'm not that great.
It's so. A little more obvious when we fake it, though.
Okay.
I mean, probably. I mean, I'm not lazy when it's happening. Like, you know, I try for it. I try to make it. I mean,
cause you shoot
it,
for it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's well, like I a mean, cocktail kicked it vitally.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'm funny again.
So the reason I thought it was important to talk about it on the show is because a lot of people don't know that there is a place within the men anal cavity that can promote orgasm. Just like women have the G-spot, men do have the P-spot. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it was important to talk about.
No, it's great. So I, to tell you the
we
truth.
Know.
I tend to be versatile in my roles with sex, so I could be either a bottom or a top. Most often than not, nowadays I'm topping more than I have bottoming. So, but I can tell you that I've been with certain people that just, oh my God,
you go numb.
Numb is not even the word. Mm-hmm. It's like you lose all like it just literally just you just drop as soon as you're done. You just go down with the ship, and I'm like, just breathe, because that's all you can do.
I passed out once.
It's possible. I think it really is. And then I've been, you know, been topping people, and they just go bananas. And it's like the moment you do it, it's like they're like grabbing for you, like, don't get off, keep going. Like,
yep.
Can you push it in? I'm like, I'm all the way in, girl. You was hungry. This one is hungry. Girl, you've been starving. But no, it's a great thing. It's mm-hmm. a great thing when you experience that for the first time. It's a great thing. But a lot of people don't realize, too, that prostate stimulation or P-spot stimulation is also very good for men. Because as we know, men can develop prostate cancer. And I think that stimulation is part of the key to avoiding getting prostate cancer when prematurely.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Prostate stimulation is good for that.
So sit on it at least once a month.
Yeah.
And, done. You know, prostate stimulation is not a homosexual male-only phenomenon.
No. Yeah.
And even tops can have their prostate stimulated.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we've talked about pegging. We've talked about pegging. So straight men can get that, you know, stimulated by their female partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can also stimulate it yourself. Absolutely. Just saying.
Yeah, there's these great things that they invented called dildos.
And there are also these great things called fingers. I'm just saying.
And we were born with 10 of, well, at least most of us, with 10 of them that work perfectly fine and are long enough to reach it.
But remember, don't go against what the doctor just spoke about. He was speaking against the use of fingers. Hangnails, nails in general.
Well, again, like, keep yourself together. Get your fingers manicured.
Mm-hmm.
Or sex just got so expensive. Forget about paying for sex.
Thanks, Dr. G.
All right. Well, anyway, that was our segment this particular week for From Top to Bottom with the great Dr. Evan Goldstein. I do enjoy his segments because they're very informative. Thank you, Trish, for suggesting the topic, and Dr. Evan Goldstein for obliging and recording such amazing, commentary on the P-spot. It's great. So we're going to move on because we do have, as we said before, our guest Patrick, who's sitting in studio with us. And we wanted to welcome you officially to the show. And again, for the fourth time, we're going to be talking about all the things that are going on in the New Haven area for Pride, which kicks off when?
It starts a week from yesterday. So we are kicking off Pride this year on September 9th, and we are going through September 16th. So we have 7 days of Pride in New Haven this year.
That's amazing. So I know that you've been on the show before, but maybe we do have some new listeners that don't know who you are or may have not listened far back when you were last on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Patrick Dunn, and I am... When I'm doing things professional-like, I am the executive director of the New Haven Pride Center, and subsequently I'm also one of the producing partners of Pride New Haven, which is the New Haven County's Pride celebration. And in addition to that, I do a lot of community work and community organizing. I volunteer like everywhere. I don't even know how many boards I'm on at this point. I've become the token homosexual on many boards, which prompted me to buy this amazing pin from this pin company called Gay Pins. And it says Magical Homosexual and has a unicorn on it. And I wear
Jealous,
it to,
Trish.
Oh my God.
I literally wear it to every important business meeting I have because I want them to know that I'm the the token homosexual in the room. In addition to that, I'm also a drag performer and a protester and many other good things. I don't know what
That's
else
amazing.
To say.
So
let's... single.
He's single.
Okay. Single, ready to mingle.
And he wants to get you off.
Yeah. He doesn't care about himself. He wants to get you off.
Yeah, you don't got to do nothing.
You don't even have to work for it. He'll do it for you. That's the kind. That's the perfect kind. So let's talk about the Pride Center, right? The sure. New Haven Pride Center has been around for quite a long time. Yeah. It wasn't always the New Haven Pride Center. Why don't you tell us a little bit of its beginnings and what you're doing with it, what direction you're taking the Pride Center in?
Sure. So the New Haven Pride Center, which is originally founded as the New Haven Gay and Lesbian Community Center, was founded in 1996. It was formed in response to what our founder John Allen says was New Haven's Stonewall event. And for any listener who doesn't know what Stonewall is, Stonewall was a bar in New York City on Christopher Street that is still there. You can go visit it. My friend Tree is behind the bar. He's been bartending since the night of the Stonewall and before then. He is in his 80s. But the Stonewall riot in 1969, there was a police raid of the bar, which it was illegal at that time period for men to dress in women's clothing. It was also illegal for same-sex couples to dance together in public. And they raided the bar, and a riot broke out. Most people, if not almost all people, attribute the first punch and or brick being thrown by trans activist and drag queen Marsha P. Johnson, who is a black trans woman who lived in New York City, for throwing a brick at the police, which started a riot and then resulted in multiple days of rioting in New York City. And then that following year was the first Pride Festival to ever take place mm-hmm. in New York City. So we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Stonewall next year in 2019. But Stonewall is considered to be the kind of birth of the modern LGBTQ rights movement. And particularly, it's interesting for me as a queer historian.
Can I ask, do you think it was the birth on the East Coast or the birth in general?
The
because
birth,
wasn't that after Harvey Milk?
It's attributed to, it was not after Harvey Milk. It was after Pedro Segarra. I can't remember her first name, but her last name is Segarra, and she was a Mexican-American, she was the Mexican-American drag queen opera singer who founded the Imperial Sovereign Court of All Connecticut, they were the first elected official that was openly gay in the whole country, and they were in San Francisco. So that predated the Stonewall Riot, but Harvey Milk came after the Stonewall Riot. Stonewall Riot is considered in most circles as the kind of first moment for the modern LGBTQ rights movement. There are other riots similarly that happened in other parts of the country, including actually one that happened in New York before that, that could also be attributed to starting the movement. But because after that was the first Pride celebration that ever happened, which was New York Pride, which is the oldest Pride celebration in the country. That's why Stonewall is often considered the starting point when we're talking about modern LGBTQ rights, because rights in the 1900s America and the rest of the world are very different than LGBT rights in like the 1700s. Sorry, I'm putting my queer historian hat on.
Love it.
Well, I do want to get a PhD in queer history at some point in my life. So in New Haven in 1993, was New Haven's Stonewall event, which was several employees sued the city of New Haven for domestic partnership rights. And it went before the Board of Alders. And the Board of Alders at the time voted no by abstention. And essentially what happened is there was the exact number of no's and the exact number of yeses. And it came. And so the president had to break the tie and she abstained, which auto defaults to a no. And there were several days of rioting in New Haven, and John Allen, who was a student at Southern Connecticut State University at the time, getting ready to do his master's, decided to do a big research study on what did New Haven's LGBTQ community need. And that study determined that we needed a space to gather, and that was how the Pride Center was founded. And so in 1996, John Stefano gave the Pride Center, he was our mayor at the time, gave the Pride Center essentially a free space for a year. For the center to get all the pieces into place and a board and everything else, and founded it. And 23 years later, here we are.
We're still going.
Nice and here strong. She is.
Mm.
And it's a great space. I mean, I know that it's not the original space and where the Pride Center started, but your space currently is a very amazingly centralized space. The area lends itself to the mission of what the Pride Center is all about.
Our biggest programs that we do right now, we have a huge amount of support groups that are all peer-led, and some of them are 12-step programs, some of them are based on sexual orientation, others about gender identity. We are the only LGBTQ plus gallery space in the entire state of Connecticut. Our Great Room Gallery is dedicated solely to queer artists. We're one of the few organizations that put on LGBTQ-focused arts arts events, and whether it's performing arts or we did an amazing spoken word performance by Alok Vead Menon, who's this incredible trans advocate and fashion icon. And so we've done things like that. We are one of the producing partners of Pride New Haven, which is turning 20 this year. And all kinds of other good things. I'm trying to think. We have social groups. We do a lot of advocacy work. I sit on a lot of committees and a lot of boards and argue with a lot of people. I've become known as like the like rabid dog in the nonprofit leadership circle, because it's like I'm the one that they bring to the meeting that will just like tell it how it is. Where everybody else is being very like calm, and then I'm just like, no, I'm just gonna call a spade a spade, and this is fucked up, and this isn't working for me.
So
like
so
when good. I yelled at the poor commissioner of DCF.
Just the other day, I was at the Pride Center with you. We had a meeting, and I was like, what is going on in here? There were tables and tables, and it was just filled with clothing. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well?
So that's what we called our community closet. It was actually founded by our trans adult support group. And it's a free clothing exchange program that anybody can come and get free clothes. We have a lot of the young homeless community that actually take advantage of it. A big chunk of the trans community take advantage of it, because obviously when you start transitioning, one of the biggest costs from the very beginning is you have to start over with your wardrobe. And anybody who has ever bought clothes, like, you know, when you go out and go shopping, you buy like maybe one full outfit. But someone who's trans, they're literally having to start over. They have to get everything new. Yep. And then if you're depending on, you know, if you're transitioning from male to female, female to male, or if you're non-binary, there's all kinds of extra expenses, you know, something like a binder, which a lot of trans men and a lot of gender non-binary people wear, are extremely expensive. And we're very fortunate. We get amazing donations from people like Tony Ferriolo, who I know has been on your show before, and the Jim Collins Foundation, of these binders. Because, I mean, one binder is, like, I think it's like $50, $60 for one binder. And, like, if you're wearing a binder, you're wearing it every single day. You're not wearing the same binder every single day.
Explain what a binder is to Chris, because he's a little confused.
Binders are...
thank you, because I was going to ask.
A binder, it looks like a tank top. And it's used to flatten your chest if you have breasts.
I have a binder, but my binder is to flatten my stomach.
they're made of this very, very intense fabric. I can't even imagine how uncomfortable they must be to wear. Because like I put one on just because I was curious what it felt like, and I don't have boobs, and it was uncomfortable. I can't even imagine like, and you know, binders come in all shapes and sizes, but still they're essentially flattening you down so that you don't have breasts. And you know, there's a lot of people in our community that wear them every single day under all of their outfits.
That sounds very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a variation on corseting. I mean, that's the end of the day. The technology of corseting is the same thing. Mm. And they're very expensive, and they're vital to some people's livelihood. I mean, if the thing about, you know, we don't think about it, but the things that are so, you know, as a cis person, I never have to think about my pronouns. I never have to think about, and I also like do very gender bending clothing anyway, and I don't really care what other people do because I also do drag, and like my pronouns are all totally screwed up. I never know what pronoun somebody's going to call me. And I've gotten to a place where I just don't care anymore. But for a lot of trans people, you know, things like pronouns and things like clothing, which most of the community, 99.9% of the community, just take for granted, those things are vital resources for them. You know, one of the most powerful things that I've ever heard Tony Ferriolo, and any of the listeners who don't know who Tony is, he's this incredible trans advocate here in Connecticut for youth. One of the most incredible things he ever said for me that had an impact on me was he was talking about somebody asking him, well, I don't understand why trans youth get so mad when we use the wrong pronoun. It's not our fault. And he said, because they're going through puberty and they're on hormones. Their body is going totally nuts. And the only thing they have a control over in their lives is what pronoun someone uses for them and what name someone calls them. That's why they get so upset. And it was just like...
But not only that, I mean, it's also an opportunity for them to find their identity.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it's much more... It's easier for someone to learn to call or address someone by what they want to be addressed, right? It could be just as simple as, if you're not sure, how would you like me to address you?
Right. Or use they, their, them. I mean, they, their, them. I know a lot of people have a hard time because it's not always grammatically easy to do. But they, their, them is a safe thing. And I do it in language. I mean, we all do it when we're talking about TV shows and we don't want to spoil something for somebody. So why can't we just do it when we're talking about real life?
And let me tell you, you're right. It is a very, very hard thing to do to learn how to speak in those types of pronouns. And there was no show more evident than that than when we had Alok on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
I sat there. I was just like, oh, my God, I did it. Didn't I?
Oh, we went through it, that show.
Yeah. But we did. It was an amazing show. And, you know, Alok was just one of these transcending artists that when they speak, it was just incredible.
We're hoping to have them back next year.
Yay. So super excited, you know, and you mentioned, you know, Tony Furriello, Alok, and these are all people that we had during our transgender spotlight month last November. So if you wanted to go back and check out all those episodes, you can. They still are available on our website.
And November's right around the corner, too.
Of course, yeah. So we have to sort of kind of think about what we want to do for this.
Why are they looking at me?
This year's November spotlight. But so you're doing this.
Hold on. I want to say one quick thing about Tony. Fantasia Fair, which is happening the weekend of October 14th in Provincetown, he will be speaking there. And it's an entire weekend dedicated to trans life, learning how to be trans, building a community, and it's happening in Provincetown. And if that's something that speaks to you, or if you're going through something like that, it would be an amazing experience to go to.
Yeah, and if you have any trans youth or gender non-conforming, gender non-binary youth, Tony actually has two incredible books about being trans and youth that are both his second book literally just came out. Last Sunday, we did the book launch at the Pride Center for him. So those books are great resources also. If you have young people in your lives, whether they're your own children or just children you know, these books are incredible resources because they're stories about being trans from youth themselves.
That's awesome. So you have this amazing exchange of clothing that's going on in the center itself. Is there anything else that you're doing currently that's not typically normal
for? What
am
I not doing? Well,
Pride New Haven, hello.
I mean, yeah, Pride New Haven. We're prepping for Trans Awareness Week. We're prepping for HIV/AIDS Awareness Week, which are both coming up in the fall. We actually, because I'm totally insane and don't apparently have a life. The day after Pride, we're opening up an LGBTQ themed escape room at the Pride Center that's being installed.
Stop. What? I'm
yes.
so pumped.
We did it last in March and it was amazing. So our last March one was the storyline was is that it's an hour before the Pride parade, but we can't find the Pride banner. So you have to like solve all these clues to find the Pride banner and then that's how you won the room.
So I love escape rooms.
This escape room, the theme is going to be around a resistance to President Gump, who is going to be who's trying to pass an anti-trans law, and so you're in a call center trying to like find, I don't know what you're trying to find yet, but you're trying to find something. But that's being literally installed over the weekend of Pride, and then we open it the Tuesday after Pride.
Can we go?
Oh,
can
we
go?
We should totally go.
You should totally
make a
come.
Reservation. Trish, send totally an email go. Or something.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Pride New Haven and the scheduled events that we currently have.
Sure.
I have to tell you though, so we started having this conversation because we wanted to have you on the show to talk about all the great things that were going to be happening during this week. But I made an observation. I said, this is probably one of the first times, in my opinion, that I've seen so many LGBTQ spaces come together so drastically, right? Because it was always either just one bar or one space and then, you know, a couple of little knickknacks here and there. We have a lot of amazing businesses that jumped on board this year.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about why you think that is?
Sure. So I think, you know, I say this a lot and I get some side eyes sometimes. You know, New Haven is one of the most important LGBTQ cities in all of New England. We are the epicenter of drag for the whole state of Connecticut. And I'd argue we're an epicenter. Like our drag scene in Connecticut, and particularly one in New Haven, could rival some of the other big drag scenes in New England. Just because we just have so much of it and we have such high quality. And that's true for all of Connecticut. But I would say New Haven's probably the capital of drag for Connecticut just because we just have so much here. There's so many venues and there's so many opportunities, you know, not to discount any of the amazing things happening in Hartford and Waterbury and Fairfield. And New London actually has a really robust drag scene popping up. But we are this kind of epicenter of drag. We're also this epicenter of queer business owners. We have phenomenal queer business owners, mm-hmm. whether it's restaurants like Barracuda, the three LGBTQ bars that we have, 168 York Street Partners Cafe in Gotham City. We also have small businesses like Strange Ways in Westville that's totally queer owned and queer focused. And so we just have a really amazing, robust scene of people. And then we have these incredible allies like people like Claire's Cornucopia. And for anybody who doesn't know from listening, Claire's is this incredible vegan / vegetarian restaurant here in New Haven. It's been around, I think they just had their 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And Claire has been a supporter of the Pride Center and New Haven and Pride New Haven and the Dorothy Awards since the very first day. Claire is a straight ally. Her brother was gay and has experienced horrible, horrible torture his entire life. And she feels it's her responsibility in his name to support the LGBTQ community in her community. And so she's been a huge supporter of the Pride Center since the beginning. She's probably one of our largest donors we've ever had. If you were to like add up everything she's done over 23 years. You know, so that we have incredible allies in the city that are doing the same thing and have incredible support from all realms of the city. You know, we're partnering with as many people as we possibly can to make the events possible. We're using as many spaces as we can possibly think up, including places like Lyric Hall, which is also queer owned. It's a queer owned theater space in Connecticut or in New Haven, rather. And you know, it's New Haven just has all the pieces to be really successful. We actually were just recently, New Haven was featured in Pride New Haven was featured in two different national publications recently. Boston Spirit Magazine did a feature about New Haven and why it's a queer destination, and wrote some really great things about the Pride Center, and there was a gigantic photo of me and drag in it, and then
of course,
Instinct Magazine just did a LGBTQ tourism piece about coming to New Haven. So New Haven is we're on the map.
Well, that's I'm glad.
And you know, actually, it's really interesting. I think it was like 10 years ago, the EDC, which is now something else. Or no, it's now the EDC. It was the business development or whatever. The city department that does tourism development and blah, blah, blah. They did a whole study about why New Haven was perfectly positioned for queer tourism like 10 years ago and presented this whole plan on like marketing the city of New Haven as a queer destination. And it was never implemented, but like, I feel like it's time we got to like dust that off and like
bring it out.
We could be the new P town. Why not?
Why not? I mean, we certainly have a lot of great
Don't make that face.
But
we could be the new Providence. How's that?
I'll take it.
Yeah. Until you get behind the bar and see Trish there.
Yeah, there's that.
Then you leave.
So that's great. So you have a schedule, right?
We do. And it's probably changed since I sent that to you.
Oh, wonderful. So I'm not going to read through everything that we have, but here's the thing. So you will have the schedule published on the website. Right?
It is already on our website.
All right.
You can also read all of our artist bios and all the other fun things that you can do.
Fantastic. So what is the website for the Pride Center?
NewHavenPrideCenter.org. And right now our entire homepage is like all prided out. So it's pretty much you can't miss a link.
So I'm going to go check it out. But we also have the older version of the events that are happening on our newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for that newsletter, you can do so. We sent that out. Actually, the newsletter went out yesterday.
Did you get a chance to see it? I got it.
Fantastic. And
I felt fancy.
So you can get a lot of really cool information, including the schedule of upcoming events. Some things may change because, you know, you just never know. But, you know, I'm really proud to see a lot of, like, for example, the the bars, especially coming together. This is the first time, like I said before, that I've seen all three bars or three nightlife spaces like really open up and say, okay, we're going to do this day. You're going to do this that day. And it sort of kind of all worked together.
Yeah. And that started last year. So last year, when I started at the center, it was really important to me for both partners and 168 York Street to be participants in Pride. And so I very early on went and talk to the owners of those bars. So Pride New Haven, just from a history perspective, was actually founded by Rob Bart, who is the owner of Gotham, because he saw an opportunity for New Haven to have a Pride festival. And we had never had one. And so he, utilizing the bar, invested in creating the first Pride festival. And he has essentially been involved all 20 years that Pride has happened in New Haven.
Well, they started on the green. We used to do the shows on the green and have this amazing, they had a stage there, unfortunately, but you know.
Yeah, no, we don't have that anymore.
That
they tore it down.
Gone.
But so anyway, so that's kind of work started last year and both partners and York Street also joined in with Gotham to create last year's festival, which was 3 days. And this year I think people felt inspired. So, you know, one of the things that happened this year, we're doing a Mr. and Miss Gay pageant. And that was because someone in the community, Sylvia Hart, came up to me. She's like, I want to do a pageant. Like, I've been doing some competitions here in Fire Island and here, there, and that. And I really think New Haven could do this. And like, but I need support from some other entity that isn't just like me doing this in a bar. And can we tie it into Pride? And so Sylvia and I started planning that pageant piece of Pride like back in February. It's taken that long to get all the pieces in place. But you know, like that, you know, things like that. It's just this year, a lot of the things kind of happen naturally. We also this year, so last year we had 103 artists that performed during Pride or participated in Pride because there were several of them were visual artists. This year we probably have about the same number. Part of that number last year was a little padded because we had both the choruses performing. So they're like 25 each. But the thing that was really cool is this year was the first year that we did like a formal application process for performers. And I would say probably 60% of our performers have never performed at Pride New Haven before. A lot of them are queer people of color, which is amazing. A lot of them are queer people of color that are doing amazing art and are happen to be from New Haven and live in New Haven, but none of us know who they are. And so for me, that's one of the things that I'm the most excited about when I'm looking at this kind of schedule of 15 events is the fact that we're going to be empowering these kind of queer people from our community that are incredibly talented. I mean, some of the musical acts that we have this year, it's just like, wow. And like, you live like down the street from me. Like, this is amazing. And, you know, and then we had these people reach out to us from further away. Like I had to turn people away this year. We had this incredible singer from LA that wanted to fly out, and he was trying so hard to make it work. Every time I told him, I'm sorry, we can't afford you, he would like knock more money off.
Wait, who is it?
His name is it's Jonathan Celestin, and he did the national HRC campaign about equality. Like, he wrote a song for their equality campaign. And he's this like extremely attractive black man that like all of his Instagram photos, he's like half naked. And I follow him religiously,
Trish,
on all three of my channels.
Trish just followed him.
But then we also had this guy Trent, who was just on, like, he was the first openly gay person to perform on the New York franchise, like New York from Flava Flav. She has like a whole franchise now, but he was like the first openly gay person to ever compete on any of her franchises, and he wanted to come and perform. We have Nikki Exotica, who's this incredible trans pop icon coming up from New York, who has ties back to New Haven because she used to like go to Gotham like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and she's like has, I think, like a bazillion followers on Instagram and is incredibly talented and is going to come with like multiple backup dancers. But then mixed in with all of these kind of people that want to come from outside, we have this incredible base of local talent that are incredibly talented. You know, from Sister Funk and Carrie Ashton and other kind of like female vocalists to these incredible young men who do various forms of like, they do rap, they do soul, it's going to be an awesome year.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So let's talk about a little bit about the brunches that are scheduled around this particular
Sure. event. So we had so much fun at last year's brunch. We had to add two this year. So one of the great things about success is you get it breeds more. So in a way of trying to kind of appease different kinds of audiences, because that was something that was really important to me as I started thinking through, like, how do we program Pride? Is how do we represent different parts of our community and make people, you know, because not drag isn't everybody's cup of tea. And like, mm-hmm. that's just a reality. And so if we only have a drag brunch, like, that's going to be great for those people. But then maybe there's a whole group of people that want to come to brunch, but don't want to drag, you know? So we're doing, we are doing a drag brunch. It's actually the newly established Hardy brunch that Sylvia Hart has been doing at 116 Crown. So much fun. She modeled it off of like kind of the New York drag brunch style. So instead of it being like performance, they do 20 minute sets each, and they have to like talk on the mic, and they do some comedy and stand up, and then like throw numbers in. And then the other brunch we're doing is at Barracuda Bistro and Bar, which is this fabulous restaurant that's lesbian owned in downtown New Haven, and it's going to be a comedy brunch. And so we have Robin Banks, who is
kind
of our hometown girl, like comedian. And then, Kendra Dowsey, who's this awesome young comedian. I think she's like 21, comedian of color and a lesbian. And then, Mina Hartig, who's any like female comedian circle people like will know that name, because she performs a lot with Poppy Chaplin, if you know who Poppy is.
And Poppy on the show.
Yeah, Poppy's fabulous. Mm-hmm. But so Mina's this amazing, but she happens to live in Fairfield. So she's just driving up the road for us. But we're going to do this fabulous kind of comedy brunch, and there'll be like an hour-ish show twice at Barracuda as you're having fabulous food.
That's, and it is very fabulous.
Is that on Sunday?
That's on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But they're both. I think they're both on Sundays.
They are. They're at the same time.
116 and the other one at the same time. One at 116 and the other one at Barracuda.
But they're 4 hours long, so you can do both.
Yeah. Perfect. So I just wanted to point out, too, that, you know, a big up to Sonia Salazar, who's the owner of the Barracuda restaurant in New Haven. On many occasions when we've had our live events, she has been donating gift certificates for us to give away as prizes to some of our giveaways that we do during our live performances. So she's very involved in the community, and she always loves to support a lot of the endeavors that are going around surrounding the community. She never says no. And, you know, I really, truly appreciate someone who really looks out for her community that way.
So. And Sonia actually got one of our Dorothy Awards this past year.
Yes, she did.
So we gave her a Dorothy Award in March. And, you know, there's some really amazing moments that I think people won't realize are moments within the Pride, but are going to mean a lot to very specific parts of our community. So one of those moments is we're bringing Sophie LaBelle, who is a trans cartoonist from Canada, going on her U.S. tour, and we're her second stop on that tour, just by chance. And she's coming up. Her comic strip or her comic books are called Assigned Male, and she's an incredible trans advocate and illustrator and cartoonist from Canada, and she's coming through to do an author talk and sell some books during Pride as well. So I feel like there's like these great moments like that, or like Alexander Mickens, who is as I said, we have a gallery space at the center. So our artist for September, October is this young artist, Alex, who's I don't know if they identify as trans or just gender non-binary, but they're very fluid, and they are, I think, 17, maybe 18 now. They just graduated from high school, and we're going to feature their work. And their work is this amazing exploration of like, what would the world be like without gender? And the work is, I can't wait to see it in person, because I've only seen images that that they've sent me, but oh, it's so amazing.
That's fantastic, though. I'm super excited. I know that we're going to be attending several of these events that they have lined up.
Hopefully the cookout that you're sponsoring.
Yeah. Well, I would surely hope that I would be at the cookout. You can't get me and food away. So if there's food, I'll be there. But yeah, that hopefully we'll get that all squared away. So it sounds fantastic. So we are going to post the information, and I'll get an updated schedule and also share that with our listeners and, of course, our newsletter subscribers. and get that information out there on the website as well and on tonight's post. So thank you, Patrick, for that information, and thank you for all the work that you're doing. I told you, when you came on the show the second time and you had announced that you were going to be the executive director for the New Haven Pride Center, I told you that you were going to make a lot of things happen. And the reason being is because you're very personable. You're someone who engages the community a very positive way. You try to be very open-minded about everything, most things, and with everyone. And I think that your hard work is the reason why we're going to start seeing a lot of different changes and a lot of great things that are becoming to the city of New Haven. So we appreciate that.
Everybody remember that as we're heading into our 25th anniversary in 2 years.
Yeah. So that being said, I think that we should start bringing it home and wrapping it up. So we will cover two more things that we should be talking about every episode. And that is, of course, the first one, our Gay Talk term. Being that we have a guest, we'll let Patrick read our Gay Talk term for today. Nick, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, I have it.
I just feel like everybody tears me down, so I'm just not going to talk today.
No! Well, smile at the camera, wave at the people.
Now, she had to clean up her mascara in the bathroom. Oh. It was running.
Again.
And then he complains that it's broken. Exactly, right? I was like, this is why you need to subscribe to Patreon so you can see what she does.
Okay. So anyway, so this this week's Gay Talk term is brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
And I'm wearing my unicorn hat.
Go for it, darling.
Okay, so our Gay Talk term this week is have a Roman spring, which dates back to San Francisco in the 60s and is also a reference in Tennessee Williams' novel, The Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone. And it means the last fling that you have before old age sets in. And the example is, she'll probably have her last Roman spring at a dirty bookstore.
Oh, I've had many Roman springs.
Everybody gets one.
Well, there actually used to be a dirty bookstore in New Haven.
Romantics, yeah. They're sponsoring Pride.
And there we are.
Romantics is not the one that she was talking about. There was another one on Chapel Street.
Yeah, I've heard about this place.
The one where the Dunkin' Donuts used to be.
I don't think it's the one that became Barcade.
Never mind.
It used to be right next to Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, where the comic book shop is.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
where you're going.
Oh my God, it's in that old.
It used to be
across the street from Barracuda.
It went from a dirty bookstore to a nerdy bookstore.
Perfect. No, I'm into it. I'm totally into it.
I'm into comics.
The one that we're talking about was right across the street from 365 State on Chapel. Literally, like right across the street, there was a bookstore there next to the Dunkin' Donuts. It's there.
Yeah.
On the bus stop.
That's not what I was talking about.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Because it's also next to a Dunkin' Donut, so I thought we were going that route. But whatever.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so why don't we jump into On This Day in Gay History, Christopher?
Because history is so amazing. Yes, On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com
and the New Haven Pride Center.
Oh, there it is. A second donor. All righty. So when September 3rd, 1979, in Minnesota,
71.
Shit. Is it 79? That was good.
That was perfectly on time. See, they make fun of him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not as much as me, but it's fine.
Joking over it.
So, some people need an easy target. Other people can just make fun of anybody.
And I'm used to it being me, so it's nice on Mondays.
No, they put me down because they know I do everything. Anyway, go on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yes, again, September 3rd, 1971 in Minnesota, don't you know, Jack Baker and Mike McConnell have a private ceremony in Minneapolis officiated by Reverend Roger Lynn of the United Methodist Church. They had been denied a marriage license back in 1970 by the Hennepin County, but Baker changed his first name to Pat and they requested a license from neighboring Blue Earth County. They are considered to be the first same-sex couple to request a marriage license in the country, as well as the first to sue for being denied one.
Wow.
Wow. So by changing his name to Pat, was he trying to deceive the other county?
Because Pat can be both male and female.
Hmm. Interesting.
And yeah.
Why not Jackie?
Why are you coming for my name that?
Exactly. They were fluid.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was a good fact. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you love our show, make sure that you rate and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. This helps our show become more visible to others in the podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. We would also encourage that you support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support our show with a pledge donation. So many thanks to the Patreons that are watching us today on the live stream for video. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. So whatever you can afford, we'll take.
Absolutely. We don't discriminate. We take MasterCard, Visa, Amex, all of it.
Yeah.
And anything that stimulates the pee hole.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, next week, we are very excited to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein to chat with us on air this time for the next installment of Tales from the Tale. This is a monthly chat where he highlights one of his patient's stories, which can be found on his blog by visiting medium.com.
Yes.
And thank you to our guest, Patrick Dunn, Executive Director of the New Haven Pride Center.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, thanks to Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for today's tips on From Top to Bottom.
Yes. Christopher.
Can we put a rubber... Are you going to interrupt today? Are we good? We're good, Trish? All right.
I think we're good.
Can we put a rubber on this, Tom?
Please.
All righty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter, at Gaytalk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Take a breath, girl. Take a breath. And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call and leave us a voice message with your questions, which we can answer on air for you. Just call 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all those numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30-ish p.m. on digitalstreamradio.com and on patreon.com for our Patreons that support us. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.